Well, brethren, for the past 7 days, we have been keeping the Feast of Unleavened Bread, a time that represents removing sin from our life, Christ being our ultimate Passover. The blood that represents the cleansing of our sin, and the unleavened bread that pictures purity and healing of our spiritual well-being and physical life. The humbleness of serving our brothers and sisters and coming before God in humility, as Christ showed us through the example of the foot washing at the Passover service. Well, many people have taken the Passover this year for the renewing of their spiritual life, and for us to prove to ourselves if we are in the faith, examining ourselves to continue and finding to remove sin that separates us from God, which is the first step in God's master plan. With the spring holy days, while we're celebrating the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we start once again a new year of being clean and the eyes pure before God, renewing our commitment, walking in faith towards perfection. The starting point we can look forward to when studying God and His way of life. But a question we need to ask ourselves, and we all have to answer it in our life, is, are we, brethren, striving to be God's children, walking in all of His ways? Are we becoming closer, becoming like God, than we were this time last year? Well, brethren, let's begin turning to 3 John. In the book of 3 John, starting in verse 2, it says, "For I rejoice greatly when brethren come and testify the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Verse 5 says, "Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers." We are to become a new creature, brethren, removing sin that separates us from God, examining ourselves and seeing whether we are in the faith, and to put on the garment of righteousness, the shield of faith, producing fruit of the Spirit, becoming like God and Jesus Christ. Throughout the pages of the Bible, God is always explaining how man is to walk with Him, giving us examples how He wants us to live our life, giving us His knowledge of the things He expects us to do and the things He expects us not to do. And as we walk with God, He gives us the blessings when we please Him, and then He gives us cursings to go astray, to catch our attention, to turn back to Him. The holy days are a vital part of God's master plan. Without them, we have no real guidance of God or for what God is doing with humanity. It is very important that the Church of God practice them annually, the holy days, so we do not forget its meanings and what God is doing for each one of us. But brethren, how can we learn from our mistakes and look closer at ourselves, seeing ourselves as God sees us in our life, if we have the attitude when we come to worship on this great holy day, "I have done this so many times before"? See, what have we really learned all of those years we have observed God's feast days? We need to be excited about this season, rejoicing in God for what He has done for delivering us out of bondage. And through God's help, we can remove ourselves from sin and begin walking in one accord with God. See, one command God expects His children to do is to produce fruit in our life. But how much do we strive to produce fruit in our daily life? How about during the holy days? How much fruit do we produce? And what are we learning about ourselves these feast days? See, are we removing ourselves from sin and turning from our wicked ways to become more like God? Well, brethren, these days of the unleavened bread, these feast days, are to picture us already removed from sin. The sin is no longer there. God has removed it. Today, I do not plan to talk about anything that you haven't already heard. That's a good thing. But I hope I can give you a different way of looking at something that can help us all to remember God's teaching and how we need to have it instilled in our mind. See, how can we produce and make God happy at each one of us if we cannot remember what God expects us to do? We must build a solid foundation for our life. Let's turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 5. It says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast off as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. See, brethren, as children of God, we are to bear much fruit, growing in grace and knowledge of God, Jesus Christ, being our vine, the children of God, the branches. And as we work to please our Father, we glorify Him. And as we glorify Him and praising Him through our actions, we bear fruit. But how do we do this? Well, brethren, a scripture we're all familiar with is Galatians 5. If we turn there, Galatians chapter 5. And picking up in verse 22. It says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is such no law. Verse 24 says, And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Verse 25 says, And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See, the days of unleavened bread pictures God delivering us out of bondage, out of that sin that mankind lives in not knowingly. But have you ever thought what the days of unleavened bread and the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 have in common? Let's take a look and let's build a spiritual fruit salad, if we would. How can we produce fruit in our life, like I said, if we cannot remember what fruit we are to be producing? So think about this for a second. If you were the world's greatest chef and you were going to make a fruit salad, what kind of fruit would you use in your salad? You wouldn't use substandard fruit. You would use the best that you could find. Well, God's the same way. He would use the best fruit He could find, except He creates it good. Everything that God makes is good. He always has His best at hand. He knows what makes it the best. He knows what it makes it to look for the best flavor, gives it the best color, and anything else it may need, that it may be perfect. Remember, we as children of God are to walk perfect with God. During this message, picture in your mind as we build the salad. Let's begin looking at the fruit of the Spirit and the first aspect of love. Love is a deep, tender, ineffable feeling of affection and solicitude towards a person. See, this would be our first ingredient to our fruit salad. That fruit, I would like you to vision, is a pear. A pear. The reason for it is it takes two to make a pear. The outgoing concern for another, Jesus Christ and God our Father. See, Christ have, through His love, emptied Himself from being a Godhead to lay down His life for us so we may live. And God the Father, because of His love, He was willing to give His only Son to be sacrificed for all of mankind. Let's turn now to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and picking up in verse 7, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. So this is one concept that this day, Unleavened Bread, pictures, that we have been actually celebrating for this entire week. The next aspect to look at is joy. Joy is to fill or to be filled with enthusiastic happiness, pleasure, or satisfaction. See, for this aspect of the fruit, I'd like for you to vision a lemon. A lemon. It may be sour, but when you add it to fruit, or you add it to different foods, it brings out flavor and color. But especially in fruit, it helps it from turning brown and makes it more desirable for the eyes. See, we must build a proper foundation in our life to be able to walk with God and to be in one accord with Him, having joy in all things. And the more Holy Spirit we obtain in our life and we have working with us, the more we become desirable to God. Just like lemons help fruit stay vibrant, God's Holy Spirit helps us stay vibrant. Let's turn to Isaiah 61. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. And we'll read verse 10 and 11. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth. So the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. See, this is a time mankind will understand God's true way. Happiness will be out throughout the joy of the lands and throughout all nations. But it doesn't happen if it wasn't for the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. It's its first step. Point number three, or aspect number three, let's look at, is peace. Let's vision an apple for peace. The phrase, an apple of day keeps the doctor away. Something you've heard probably growing up. See, doctors claim, or scientists claim, that apples or its juice has enzymes that help give the body peace. Gives the body digestive system, or helps it out. Because if the body is in turmoil, it's hard to relax. And if it's hard to relax, you can't find peace in your physical life. Because if we're not happy, nobody's happy. It's very hard to make others happy. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. See, God's Holy Spirit, however, He gives us calmness in our life. And if we are truly seeking it, God's way of life, we will have that calmness. And as Jesus says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but I give to you. So let your heart not be troubled, nor let it be fearful. As we return into 2 Peter 3, let's pick up in verse 14. 2 Peter 3, verse 14, it says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. See, we must learn how to establish peace in our life and being blameless, showing long-suffering towards one another. So that goes into our fourth point, the aspect, the fruit of the Spirit. That aspect is long-suffering. So what does it mean to suffer long? Well, in one word, you can say patience, to have patience. Lots and lots and lots of patience. And just when your patience has come to an end, you have more patience. See, if you've ever had a banana tree, this would be the fruit you would think of, a banana. Because you have to be patient. When you go to pick one, you pick them while they're green. And then it ripens in order to get its full flavor and taste out of it. Because if you don't pick it while it's green, you wait for it to ripen on a tree, it rots. So we must develop patience as God's children. And where would we be today if God did not have patience with each one of us? Let's go back just a few verses to verse 9 in 2 Peter 2, chapter 3. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." See, this is only possible because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And this is one of the lessons that we can learn during these days of unleavened bread. See, God expects his children to be patient with one another, especially those of the household of God that are in the body, showing godly examples to each other, and also to those who do not know God at this time or have not been called. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, and have a walk worthy of the calling in which you were called, with the lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit and the bond of peace." See, we cannot just pick and choose what aspects of the fruit of the Spirit we want to take part of or that we want to just believe in and abide in. We must keep them all in order to be complete like God, removing ourselves from sin, being one with God in Jesus Christ. Remember the fruit salad I asked you to vision. If there is not enough or too much fruit in the mix, the balance and the taste are compromised. Let's just look at aspect number 5, kindness. Kindness, known as gentleness in some translations, it is the quality of state of being kind. An instance of kind behavior, considerate, or kindly in disposition. Another word for it is amiable or tender. Not being harsh or severe. Picture a peach. A peach is a good description of gentleness, a delicate fuzz and softness. By squeezing it too hard, you will bruise it. See, we as God's children should show gentleness and kindness to each other, that we may not bruise or hurt one another in the body, or to uplift one another. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, it says, "The Lord's servant must not strive, but be gentle towards all, apt to teach, forbearing in meekness, correcting them that oppose themselves, and if God perhaps will grant them repentance and show them the truth." Let's turn to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy in chapter 3. Chapter that everyone here is very familiar with. It's usually read when somebody's being ordained, but it says, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, a husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. As verse 5 says, for if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God?" See, brethren, sometimes many have believed through their understanding, this is a job for the ministry or those who are in office of the church. But it is much more than that. It is for every member to act on, to be an example of. Every member of the household of God, this is the attitude we should have. See, we are to live, once again, according to every word and example that was set by Jesus Christ. And brethren, do we have the desire to live and to have the attitude of servant leadership dwelling in our life, to help one another, to uplift one another, to serve one another? See, that same leadership Christ showed us, and he was willing to die for it. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. It says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Verse 29, all are apostles, all are prophets, all are teachers, all are workers of miracles. Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I will show you more excellent way." See, if any one of these offices were not of a gentle spirit or gentle in spirit, long-suffering, having peace, love for one another, joy in their lives, and if you understand, if you're getting the idea, the fruit of the Spirit, how are we going to teach others that God calls into his fold? See, the less sin in our life, the more Jesus Christ can live and dwell with us and in us. As Paul gives us the example in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, as you probably have in memory, that we need to be willing to crucify ourselves daily to become like Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ was tempted in every point, as we are today. He was tried. He was tested. He even got angry. But he lived a flesh and blood human being, or as human as we're human, living a righteous life without sin, becoming our high priest and ultimate sacrifice. Moving to aspect number 6, goodness. Goodness. Goodness is the state or quality of being good. See, many scriptures show us when God has created something, what did he say? It was good. The root word, kind of a little play on words, but the root word for good is God with an extra O. To have goodness is to become like God, to put on God's very own nature. You may have heard a television commercial slogan say, "Peel an orange and experience its goodness." See, God wants us to experience everything he has in store for each one of us. So in your notes, goodness, let's vision that orange. The days of unleavened bread help us to see where we are going in God's master plan. See, as we examine ourselves by partaking of that Passover, we proclaim Christ until he returns, renewing our vows we made with God through our baptism, putting on righteousness, becoming a product of goodness, and walking towards perfection. Turn with me to Romans 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 and 14. It says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Verse 14, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with the knowledge, able to admonish one another." See, eating the unleavened bread during these 7 days symbolizes that body of Jesus Christ, partaking the righteousness of Christ through that unleavened bread, symbolically. We will admonish one another because we are walking in the steps that Jesus Christ walked, being filled with goodness of the knowledge of God, walking in righteousness, removing that sin from our life and continue to search it out, and replacing it with God's Holy Spirit, allowing Jesus Christ to live and work through us. We cannot do it on our own. God is the one who does it for us, and he is our deliverer from sin. He's the one that brings us out of that bondage. Let's turn to Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 37. It says, "He answered and said to them, 'He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field of the world of the good seeds are the son of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one.'" So, brethren, we don't want to be wicked. We want to be right with God. We want to be that good seed. So we need to establish goodness in our life. Point number seven, aspect number seven, is faithfulness. Faithfulness, faith. Adhering firmly and devoutly to a person, cause, or an idea. Having loyalty. Having and being full of faith. The Bible definition we all can quote, Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's take and envision a pomegranate. It is a decurious shrub or a small tree native to Asia, widely cultivated for its edible fruit. The fruit of this tree has a tough reddish rind and contains many seeds, each enclosed in a mild, juicy, acidic red pulp. Well, if you've ever eaten a pomegranate, you really never know what you're going to get, because it's either going to be a sweet one or it's going to be a sour one. And if you get a sweet pomegranate, you usually have the desire to eat of its sweetness. But in the process of cutting and preparing it, you always have hope and faith that it's going to be a tasty one. Well, brethren, without faith in God, we have nothing. For it's impossible to please God. See, we must have complete faith in God that He will guide and lead us where He wants us. And may we, brethren, go willingly. Having put our faith completely in God's hands without fighting Him, and having doubt that He will not do what He has claimed or what He has promised us He will do. See, Christ never doubted the Father. So why do we? Christ never doubted the Father, but think of this concept. What if Christ thought that maybe the Father would not resurrect him? I mean, he went through all, emptied himself from being a Godhead, giving himself for us. He went through the tremendous beating, living a perfect life, and while hanging on the cross or stake, he thought, "What if God doesn't resurrect me?" If that happened, we know the answer. He would not be the perfect sacrifice. But do we doubt God? Do we doubt Him that He is not going to have us in His best interest? See, we must have faith in God's Word, never doubting, because God is in charge of each one of us. Let's turn to Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It says, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." See, one scripture that always makes me think where my level of faith is Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, picking up in verse 5, it says, "And the apostle said to the Lord, 'Increase our faith.'" Do we ask that question, brethren? Increase our faith? Verse 6, "So the Lord said, 'If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, "Be pulled up out of your roots and be planted in the sea," and it would obey you." So how far do we need to go in our spiritual life to get close to God? As Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Philippians 4:13. Aspect number 8. Gentleness. Gentleness. Some know it as meekness. Meekness is the quality or state of being meek. For this fruit, I'd like you to picture a coconut. A coconut. It's not a very impressive fruit to look at, nor is it desired for its beauty. But many times, people confuse meekness with weakness. And the coconut, it has a hard shell, but inside is pure white and full of sweetness. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37 and verse 11. It says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." The meek will inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in abundance of peace. Now let's turn a few pages back to Psalms 25. Psalms chapter 25. And verses 9 and 10, it says, "The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." See, we can rest and have assurance that God is going to do all the things that he claims he is going to do for his children. Let's turn to Matthew 11. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. It says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What he's saying is, I'm going to give you refreshment here. It says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, how many times, going back to that coconut, have you tried to break a coconut shell? It's a fruit that it has a very strong makeup. In one sense, if you want to look at it, it's a nut inside a nut. But it is a humble nut. Aspect number 9. Self-control. Self-control, aspect number 9. Another word that we could use for that is temperance. Temperance is moderation and self-restraint, as in behavior or expression. See, something all of us we need to have in our life is temperance. We need to have self-control. Please make no mistake, though, that it does not mean abstinence, as the world teaches. The fruit that I would like for you to vision for this aspect of the Spirit are grapes. Grapes by themselves is an enjoyable fruit to eat and to drink of its juice. But under the right conditions, the juice can ferment and can turn into wine. That juice, through the properties of that grape juice, have changed and has become a new drink that contains alcohol. And we need to be careful on how much alcohol we drink. That goes for anything else also. Let's turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, picking up in verse 2. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our God and Lord Jesus Christ, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, brethren, as I have tried to show you today, we must have 100% of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit living in our life in order to live a righteous life following in the footsteps of our Savior. We must never give up, but if we do stumble, may we get up, dust ourselves off, and continue our good fight. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, picking up in verse 23. It says, "Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." So let's not become discouraged and give up on seeking our crown. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle with principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness and of the world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Just as Christ overcame the world, we can overcome it also. Are we going to sin? I think we all know that answer. Yes, we are going to sin. But when we do, do we run to our Father for repentance so we may be washed clean with the blood of Jesus Christ and become once again pure? See, we are to live by every word of God. Now let's conclude in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And we'll read verses 1 through 14. Just kind of think about this as I'm reading it to you. But it says, "But as for you, speak all things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to too much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women and to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a good pattern of good works and doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say to you. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all godly fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things." Verse 11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live sober, righteous, and godly in this present age. Look for the blessing, hope, and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who had given himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." So there are many lessons that we can learn from these feast days of unleavened bread. Our goal, brethren, is to be just like God in Jesus Christ. May we have more knowledge, may we have more zeal for God and his people, showing the fruit of the Spirit to one another: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Let's show that in our own life, because it begins with God and what he is doing for each one of us. See, brethren, God has called us out of this world. He has given us his knowledge. He's delivered us from our Egypt, our bondage. May we walk righteously with God and serve Him with gladness for all the blessings and the truth that God has revealed to each one of us.